لقي لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. صلوات من أكبر. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His special blessings on this gathering to celebrate the birth anniversary of the younger grandson of the Prophet of Islam, the son of Ali and Fatima, the brother of Hassan, al-Imam Hussein bin Ali alayhim as-salatu was-salam. The name of Hussein, the personality of Hussein, is probably the most discussed name in the Shia history and even among Muslims. And so what I've done is I began with this earlier ayat from Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about muttaqeen. After Alif Lam Mim, He says, this is the book, La Rayba Fihi. There is no doubt in this book that this is the divine revelation, hudan lil muttaqeen. It is a guidance for those who are pious or righteous, those who have this conscious of Allah's presence in their life all the time. And then he describes who are these muttaqeen, who have this higher ability of receiving the hidayat from the Quran, the guidance from the Quran. Number one, he says, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. Those who believe in ghayb. Ghayb means something, the realities which are unseen to us. So never be ashamed of believing in an imam who is in ghaybat. This is the beginning. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Islam is not only a religion which talks about concepts and ideas. It is the religion which governs our personal and communal and social life. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He talks about وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Those who believe, those who have iman in ghayb, the fulfillment of that is by connecting to God. And that is done by establishing prayers. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَمِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. He says, in order to see your commitment, in the message that I've sent to you, I would like to see how you interact with people, especially how you take care of those who are less fortunate among you. And so after believing in ghayb and establishing prayers, he talks about the social duty and he says, these are the people, مِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that from whatever we have given them, provided them, they do infaq. Infaq means charity here. We are not talking about wajib. What do you give from your own willingness, from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you? When we look at these qualities, of course, for us, the best role models are Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And among them, I would like to look at this concept, وَمِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That one of the signs of muttaqim is that they give in charity from whatever Allah has given to them. One of the prime examples that we can see is the example of Hussein bin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And so we are today in his mahfil. Let me begin with a short passage of one of his khutbas, which has nothing to do with Karbala. This is not something which was uttered by the Imam in Karbala. This is in Medina, where he gave a khutbah, where he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ نَافِسُوا فِي الْمَكَارِمِ وَصَارِعُوا فِي الْمَغَانِمِ. All people, نَافِسُوا فِي الْمَكَارِمِ. Makarim means noble character. He says, compete with one another. have this desire to go ahead of others in acquiring makarim, وَصَارِعُوا فِي الْمَغَانِمِ, and speed up, go into the race, to be ahead of others in receiving the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he immediately goes to the issue of charity, where he says, وَعْلَمُوا, based on that ayat of Quran, وَمِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Infaq means giving charity from what Allah has given to you. Then he says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ هَوَائِجَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's a very beautiful way of portraying charity. Many times, you know, because of this human nature, we have love for our own hard-earned money and wealth. You know, if we give away, sometimes we think that, well, you know, something, I'm losing something by giving away. Imam puts charity in a very different perspective. He says, remember, when people come to you with their needs, the action of them coming and asking help from you is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. Ni'mat is not only in dollars and cents, in wealth and position, and in health. No. Ni'mat has different forms. One is that hawa'ijun nas, hajat, needs of the people, also can become from the ni'amillah, from the ni'mat of and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he says, فَلَا تَمُلُّ النِّعَمْ. When the ni'mat comes to you, immediately take it. And what does it mean in this context? If somebody who is in need comes to you and you have the ability to help, help him immediately. This is the ni'mat that Allah has given to you, blessing you while depriving the other person. And now he wants you to help that other person. He says, if you delay this, فَتَتَحَوَّلُوا إِلَىٰ غَيْرِكُمْ, if you delay in fulfilling the need of the person who has come to you, remember that this ni'mat and opportunity will be transferred from you to somebody else. And you will be the loser there. Because a ni'mat came to you in form of infaq and charity, which you did not, you know, avail that opportunity. This is very similar to a dua that we have in something known as Salawat Sha'baniya. It's already Sha'ban here. You know, there is a very famous dua. Inshallah, we'll talk about that Salawat. It's a lengthy one. On Sunday, inshallah, we'll talk about it from the fourth Imam. But just one sentence from there, from Salawat Sha'baniya, relevant to the words of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. In Salawat Sha'baniya, one of the things that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very unusual dua, where we say, وَرْزُقْنِي مُوَاسَاتَ مَنْ قَطَّرْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رِزْقِكَ بِمَا وَسَّعْتَ بِهِ عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. Oh Allah, bless me with the concern for the whom from... Oh Allah, bless me with the concern for the person that you have cut off from your provision and increased my provision in place out of your grace. So it's very interesting that we are asking Allah that, oh Allah, give me the ability to feel this concern and this, you know, the feeling of helping the person that you have decided to deprive him from your provision. It would be like as if, you know, we are kind of going against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to deprive this person, for me to stand there and say, oh Allah, you have given me more, give me the opportunity to share what I have more with somebody that you have deprived him. But there is nothing wrong here. Our imams actually are telling us that The whole process that some are given, some are deprived, this itself is a imtihan and ibtila. The one who has been deprived is going through test and trial. The one who has been given and blessed by Allah is also being put to test and trial. And so you have to basically look for the opportunity. This is very much like in Surah Zariyat, Surah number 59, Ayat number 19. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there talks about muttaqeen. Who are the pious people? And one of the description he has, he says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In the wealth of the muttaqi and the righteous people, there is a share in it for those who are beggars and those who have been deprived. This is nothing to do with khums and zakat. This is actually voluntary charity that Allah is saying, in your maal, I have placed the haqq for those who are beggars and who are deprived. Salawat Pranay Akbar. Going back to Imam Hussain alayhi salam in that khutbah, he says, wa'alamu. He talks more about, you know, charity. He says, wa'alamu anna al-ma'roofa muqsibun hamdan wa mu'aqqibu ajran. He says, remember that this process of charity, being generous and sharing what Allah has given to you with the less fortunate people, this is actually a work which is worth praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa mu'aqqibu ajran, and the end result is the reward from Allah. So Allah will praise you for what you are doing and then also reward you for what you are doing. And then he talks about manifestation of the deed, of the deeds. We know this will not happen in dunya, it will happen in the akhirah. Whatever we do, somehow it will manifest in a form that we can see. And if it is a good deed, it will be in a good form. If it is an evil deed, it will be in an evil form. And so Imam says, فَلَوْ رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفُ رَجُلًا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ حَسَنًا جَمِيلًا تَصُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. He says, if your charity, if your work of, you know, giving to the poor and the needy manifest in a human form, then you will see that that person is very beautiful, very handsome, and people will be pleased to look at that person. وَلَعَيْ رَعَيْتُمُ اللَّوْمَ رَعَيْتُمَ سَمِجًا مُشَوَّحًا تَنْفِرُ مِنْهُ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. But when it comes to the niggardness, those who are bakhil, who don't want to share with others, you know, that act will manifest in form of a very ugly person that you wouldn't even like to look at the face of such an individual. Salawat Pranay Akbar. So what basically we are being told by the Imam is that remember that you have to actively look for opportunity of giving in charity. It's not an issue of sitting there and letting people come. Look for the opportunity to help people who are in need. And when the opportunity comes, this is the main part of the earlier khutbah there, Imam says, do not delay it. Because if you do not avail that opportunity of helping those who can you can help, if you delay that, that opportunity will go to somebody else. And you will be the loser at the end. And so this is the message that we see from, you know, the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, especially from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And so let me now go to the two or three examples depending on the time from his life. Salawat Pranay Akbar. On the level of, you know, helping the people who are in distress, there is a story about his visit to Osama bin Zayd. Osama bin Zayd, he's actually Osama, the son of Zayd bin Harisa. Zayd bin Harisa was a slave of Bibi Khadija. And when she married Rasulullah, she gifted Zayd as a personal assistant to the Prophet. Later on, you know, of course, Zayd bin Haritha was not a slave by birth. Actually, his family was traveling and there were robbers there who snatched him away and sold him in the slave market. He eventually ended up in the house of Khadija as a slave. And so now he became the slave of Rasulullah. And the Prophet used to treat him in such a way that their relationship of a master and a slave changed to father and son. To the extent that when the father of Zayd, Haritha, when he was in search of his son, you know, where is he? Where they have taken him? After many, many years, he was told that Haritha is in Mecca. So he travels there, and he was told that he is a slave of Muhammad. So he goes to the Prophet, he says, I would like to buy my son back from you. And Rasulullah says, if he's your son, there's no issue of buying. He's free. You take him. You call Zayd. And, you know, the father was very delighted to see him. And the son was also delighted. But then when the father said to the son, it's time to go home, he said, no. I'm not going to leave him for your sake. He's refusing to go with his father. He said, you know, the life and the akhlaq that I've seen, the behavior and character that I've seen my master, I'm not going to leave him. So the father became very, you know, angry in a way, and he says, I disown you. And Rasulullah right there announced that Zayd is no more a slave, he's a free person, and I am adopting him as my son. The rule of adoption changed after Hijrah. And so from there, that day onward, Zayd bin Haritha was called in Mecca by the people as Zayd bin Muhammad. Just the way, you know, you had the adoption system here where the names are also changed. So, you know, he was very close to Rasulullah. And he migrated also with the Prophet. And he became a shaheed. Osama bin Zayd is the son of, Zayd bin Haritha. So it's not only a companionship in Sahabi, rather they are in a way part of the extended family. So he's in a way, you know, informally like a grandson of Rasulullah. So Osama bin Zayd, when he became ill, and this is his illness in which he died at the end, Imam Hussein went to visit him for Iyadat. And he realized he is very much in distress, not just because of his illness. And he was saying, wa ghammahu, you know, gham. And so Imam asked him, wa ma ghammuka ya akhi, O my brother, what is your gham? You have to reach to that level that your Imam says, ya akhi. This is what we have to look for. This is the, you know, we have to reach to that level of akhlaq that the Imam says, ya akhi. Wa ma ghammaka ya akhi. He says, dayni, I am in debt. Wa huwa sittuna alf dirham. 60,000 dirham. And I don't have the ability to pay. Imam said, don't worry. Huwa alayya. I take on your debt. I will pay. But he says, inni akhsha an amut. But I'm afraid that I'll die and it has not been paid. Imam said, don't worry. Now I don't know how to explain this answer of the Imam. He says, lan tamuta hatta aqdiya hanka. You will never die until I fulfill your debt. Now, you know, how did he say that? That all depends on, you know, how we understand the ability of the Imam to know the reality. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. فَقَضَاهَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ And the riwayat says that Imam basically fulfilled his, debt of 60,000 dirham before Osama died. And so we see that it's not only the issue of somebody who is a beggar on the street. You know, even when we look at people around us, among the friends, among extended relatives, we should be looking for the opportunities. We should have those ears and eyes to realize that, okay, this fellow out of his self-respect is not saying anything. He's not coming and asking from anything from you. But if you realize that, and this is what you have to do, you have to move forward, seize that opportunity, because if you delay that, the opportunity will be given to somebody else. Another example from the life of the Imam is that Imam once was, and this is probably close to Masjid al-Nabi, there was a place where, in modern terms, homeless people used to live. This was a kind of a shed which was made for them outside the masjid. And people will, you know, different ways they would help him, help them. Imam was passing by where these poor people had basically spread their sufra. And they were eating whatever simple food that they had. And when they saw Imam, you know, riding by them, they called him, Halumma ya ibn Rasulillah. O son of the Messenger of Allah, come and join us. Imam stopped, got off his horse, فَعَكَلَ مَعَهُمْ. He sat down with them and ate with them. While he recited this ayat of Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Allah doesn't like those people who are arrogant. Poor people have asked me to sit down and have a meal with them. For me to say, oh no, I don't sit down with such people. This is selfish arrogance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. But after he, you know, had the simple meal with them, he says to them, قَدْ عَجَبْتُكُمْ فَعَجِيبُونِي. I responded to your invitation and I joined in. Now I am inviting you all to come with me to my home, and you will have to respond to me. So all of them got up. It seems, you know, it was a very simple meal, probably not even sufficient for everyone. And they said, Naam, ya Ibn Rasulullah, we'll come. They went to the house of the Imam, and Imam asked his wife, you know, whatever you have from the ration at the home, you know, get it ready. And then, you know, he fed them in a way that they were satisfied. This is again, you know, it's a more different scenario compared to the earlier one where Osama bin Zayd bin Harisa, who was in a way part of the extended family. And this is where we see that Imam, you know, was always careful about this situation. And I will, inshallah, share one more example with you in English at the end. But today, before ending, I would like to go to Urdu and then go back to English. So those who don't understand Urdu, sit down. If not for that, at least there's a niyaz after Maghrib. Huh? Salawat bin Akbar. حسین کی بارگاہ جو ہے جود و سخا کے نام سے بہت مشہور ہے. خدا نے جو برکت بھی دی ہے ان کی تربت میں شفا ہے. ان کے گنبد کے نیچے جا کے دعا کریں تو اس میں دعائیں قبول ہوتی ہیں. لیکن خود امام کی زندگی میں ایک سٹوری ملتی ہے کہ ایک بیڈوان جو دیہات میں رہتے ہیں سب صحرا میں. Remember, the Arabs were very well talented in this ability of expressing their feelings in poetry, even the illiterate ones, especially Bedouin society. And they had this talent more common than the other societies that I have studied. So wo banda aaya Madina, pareshan tha. Madina wala se poochta hai ke sabse مشہور اور بڑا مخیر کون ہے. Who is the most generous? तो लोगों ने कहा कि तुम हुसैन के पास जाओ। हुसैन का नाम दिया, वो गया मस्जिद नबी में, इमाम अपने नाफिला नमाज पढ़ रहे थे तो वो वहीं जा के रुक गया। और उसके बाद उसने अपनी जो दरख्वास्त है, आप जब खुदा से मांगते हैं, ज़्यारतों में जाते हैं, इमाम की बारगाहों में, ज़रा मांगने का तरीक़ा भी सीखें। ये बद्दू अरब जो है अब शेर की ज़बान में अपने रिक्वेस्ट को पेश करता है, लम यखबिल अलआन मन रजाक व मन हर्रक मिन दून बाबिक अलहलका, कि वो बंदा जो आपसे उम्मीद बांधता है वो कभी भी मायूस नहीं होगा, और वो बंदा भी जो आपके दरवाजे के चौखट को आवाज़ लगाए, अंत जवादुन व अंत मुअतमिदुन, आप बहुत ही जेनरस और सखी बंदा हैं और आप ही पर लोग भरोसा करते हैं, अबू का कद कान क़ातिल अल-फ़सक़ा। अब इमाम हुसैन को खुश करने के लिए बाबा का जिक्र करता है, और आपके बाबा वो थे कि जो गुनाहगार और बुरे लोगों को कत्ल करते थे, वलौल लज़ी कान मिन अवाइलिकुम, और अगर आपके ख़ानदान के बुज़ुर्ग लोग ना होते, कानत अलैना अल-जहीम मुंतबिक़तन, तो ये जहन्नम जो है हम लोगों को चारों तरफ से घेर लेती। इमाम ने अपनी नमाज ख़त्म की, सलाम ख़त्म किया और उसे अपने घर लेके जाते हैं, कंबर को बुलाया, इमाम ये अमीरुल मोमिनीन का वो ग़ुलाम था उस ज़माने में था, कंबल को बुलाया और कहा कि हमारे प्रॉपर्टी से जो रेवेन्यू हिजाज से आए थे, आमदनी जो थी, कितनी बाकी है? उसने कहा कि 4,000 दीनार, 4,000 दिरहम दीनार। इमाम ने कहा पूरा लेके आओ, इसलिए कि आज वो साइल आया है जो उसके ज़्यादा मुस्तहक है। और अपनी एक चादर निकाली, उसमें वो 4,000 दीनार रखे, और उसको बांधने के बाद वो बाहर वाले कमरे में बैठा था, इमाम अंदरूनी कमरे में थे। इमाम वहाँ नहीं जाके उसको फेस टू फेस नहीं देते हैं, इमाम जो है दरवाजे के पीछे से हाथ बढ़ाते हैं, उसे कहते हैं कि आके ले लो। क्यों हुसैन ने ये किया? इसलिए कि इंसान जब किसी से मांगता है, चाहे देना देने वाला बहुत बड़ा सखी भी क्यों ना हो, लेने वाला जो है ज़रा खिफ्फत महसूस करता है, एम्बेरसमेंट या ह्यूमिलिएशन दिल में महसूस करता है। इमाम ने कहा कि हम नहीं चाहते थे कि मेरी नज़र उसके चेहरे पर जाए या उसकी नज़र मेरे चेहरे पर जाए और उसे एहसास शर्मिंदगी हो, इसलिए हमने दरवाज़े के पीछे से हाथ बढ़ाया और उसे कहा कि तुम इसको लेके चले जाओ। सलावात पढ़ने एक बार, खुदावंद आलम ने सूरे बकरा में, there is no translation for this part of my talk now in Urdu, then provided this just came to mind now, surah baqara mein khudawand alam mein end mein musalsal ayat pesh ki hain, almost 2 pages of the normal size of Quran, jahan khudawand alam ne khairat aur sadaqat, ye charity ki jo baat ki hai, usme charity dene ki ka hukm nahi diya hai, balki how you give charity, और उसमें हुक्म यह है, या अय्युहल्लज़ीना आमनू ला तुब्तिलू सदक़ातकुम बिलमन्न वलअज़ा, ऐ साहिबान ईमान, जब तुम सदक़ा देते हो, चैरिटी देते हो, तो इस तरह से मत दो कि वो बातिल हो जाए। बातिल कैसे होती है? इस तरह से दे के देने लेने वाला जो है खिफ़त महसूस करता है, अपने को अंडर ऑब्लिगेशन फील करता है, ज़िल्लत महसूस करता है, अज़ियत महसूस करता है। तो ये मसला जो है ख़ुद इमाम यहाँ मिसाल दे रहे हैं कि इमाम जब खैरात और सदक़ात भी करते थे, बहुत से मौाक़े ऐसे मिलते हैं इमाम हुसैन की ज़िंदगी में कि जहाँ लोगों की मदद की है लेकिन लोगों को मालूम नहीं था कि मदद करने वाला कौन है। सलावात पढ़ दें एक बार, Imam was very particular about this issue of, you know, giving charity in such a way that the other person, the recipient, doesn't feel humiliated. One of the examples that we have from Shu'aib bin Abdul Rahman al-Khudai, he narrates after the events of Karbala. He says, Banu Asad, the people who were there when the burial was taking place, they're saying on that day, they saw some mark on the upper back part of the Imam. Kind of, you know, a darker area than the rest of the back. فَسَأَلُوا زَيْنُ الْعَابِدِينَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ They asked later on, they asked Imam Zainul Abidin, what was that we saw at the back of your father? What was that? What was the reason for it? And Imam Zainul Abidin says, هَذَا مِمَّا كَانَ يَنْقُلُ الْجِرَابِ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهِ إِلَىٰ مَنَاذِلِ الْعَرَامِلِ وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ He says, during the darkness of night in Medina, it was very common for my father to actually put bread and some grain in a bag at night time, and he will carry it and put it on his back. And then he will go to the houses of the widows, the orphans, and the poor people that he knew. And he will give it to them. And he used to do so regularly that there was actually a mark there because of carrying that bag. And so when we talk about charity, we have to realize that, you know, it's not only the issue of giving. As Imam Hussein says, if the opportunity comes, do not delay it. Because if you delay it, the opportunity will be given, it will be transformed to somebody else. And you will lose out. But also how you give is also very important that we see from the Quran and the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Since we see in this example that the Imam used to help al-aramil wal-yatama, the widows and the orphans, I'd just like to take this opportunity to emphasize this campaign which is going on by Al-Ain organization, which caters to the widows and the orphans in Iraq. And they have a fundraising dinner coming soon, and I think they are selling tickets tonight also. You know, this will be your opportunity to help them out in whatever way you can. I have seen their work in Iraq, and I have seen the transparency, accountability, and the reporting system that they have, which is really superb. There is no any other organization in the Shia world which has that level of, you know, reporting and accountability and the transparency that we see around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all those who are working in this good cause. Salawat pranik parawal. I would like to end with the translation that I have done of a manqabat of Allama Iqbal, the famous poet of the East, in Farsi. You know, he has a whole entire divan, the collection of poetry in Urdu, and then a divan in Farsi. And he's very well, you know, respected among the Persian-speaking, world. And it seems that if you really want to see in his poetry praise of Ahlul Bayt, you will not see that much in Urdu, you will see more in Farsi. Whether it was because he was being careful there in that environment, so he spoke more about Bibi Fatima, for example, or Amir al-Mu'mineen, or Imam Hussein in Farsi, rather than in the poetry that he has in Urdu. And this is from a longer manqabat that he has, and this is the English translation. I tried to work on it as much as I can make it easy. And so that is for tonight as the gift. In the name of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, salawat. There is some symbolism, there are some ishara and indications which is important to understand. You know, for example, when he talks about this ba of Bismillah, there is a famous statement from Ali where he says, you know, all the revealed books are summarized in the Quran. Quran is summarized in Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is summarized in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is summarized in the first word, Bism. And Bism is summarized in the Bay, the first letter. And the Bay is summarized in that Nuqta, that dot which is beneath Bay. And then he says, I am that dot beneath Bay. This is just for you to understand when Allama Iqbal, you know, talks about it, what it means. So this is what he says about Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, that Imam of God lovers, the son of Batul, the freedom fighter from the garden of Rasul, by God, the Ba of Bismillah is the father. Now you know what I was saying there. By God, the Ba of Bismillah is the father, while the sun symbolizes the great sacrifice. He's referring to this ayat of Zubh Azim, the great sacrifice regarding Ismail and Ibrahim is actually indication to Hussein. For this prince of the best of nations, the prophet's back became the camel. You know, when Hussein was young, he used to play with Rasulullah, and Rasulullah will carry him. And one of the companions said, look at Hussein, and he said, you know, you have a best of ride here. And Rasulullah said, you don't know, even the rider is the best one. So he says, for this prince of the best of nations, the prophet's back became the camel. True love is red from his blood. This poem's twist is from his message. In midst of the prophet's nation, he stands up as the word of unity. The truth is alive from Hussein's power. Falsehood is finally a hopeless dream. And then he talks about this connection of Khilafat from the Quran. He says, when Khilafat severed its link with the Quran, the body of freedom was filled with poison. Then the noblest of mankind stood up, emerging as rain cloud on horizon. He showered the desert of Karbala. Thus sprouted lilies in that devastated land. Till the last day he vanquished the tyranny. His blood watered the garden of freedom. His sword was only for honor of faith. His cause was protection of the faith. A Muslim cannot serve anyone but Allah. He never bows his head to any Pharaoh. His blood explained this mysteries. Thus he awakened the slumbering community. With his blood on the land, on the sands of Karbala, with his blood on the sands of Karbala, Hussein wrote, La ilaha illallah. By his supreme sacrifice in that desert, Hussein showed the path of our salvation. We have learned the secrets of the Quran from Hussein, and from his lamp, we have alighted many lamps. The glory of Syria, the pomp of Baghdad is gone. You know, Sham, Damascus, and Baghdad were the capitals of the Khilafat. So he says, the glory of Spain and the pomp of Baghdad is gone. The splendor of Muslim Spain is also forgotten. But Hussein's sacrifice still touches our hearts. The faith is still fresh with his call in Karbala. Salawat. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے خداوند اس قلعی بار قبول فرما ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما خداوند جہاں جہاں شیعان علی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔